amendment in the summary?
Yes, the $74 million, I'm saying, is a total that's being spent this year on I-294/57, and it includes the $6 million that I mentioned earlier for the relocation and restoration of the Dixie Creek project.
Yeah, if you break that again, I just want to verify the Illinois Route 53-120 in Milias. I think it was more than $6.8 million with the line item.
That's correct.
Is it 6.8 all 53, or is it 6.753 and 100,000 for Liliana? How's that broken out?
I think we've budgeted just for both in terms of for both for feasibility studies. I can get that for you.
I don't think that there was,
I don't know,
frankly, any breakout. We created a pot for emerging projects.
Right.
There wasn't necessarily a distinct delineation that X amount would go to this one or X to that one. It was more for emerging projects, which could be 53, the Iliana, or other things that might happen or come about in the next 15 years. So I know that we've got some of the design engineering contracts are being put on the next bulletin for 53.
That's what I think it's going to go to.
Yeah.
The planning for 53.
Yeah.
Next design.
Okay. That's what I wanted to verify.
A total of $218 million is budgeted for system-wide needs. This includes $27 million for the reconstruction of the all-new electronic interchange at Illinois Route 47 and I-90. $96 million in both bridge and pavement improvements. We've got $28 million budgeted for our toll collection technology. This is to improve and upgrade our toll collection system as part of our ongoing efforts to improve our customer service. And then we have maintenance facility improvements of $12 million and other program support costs, our KMO. Other capital projects is budgeted for $79 million. Again, $50 million we're expecting to spend this year. This includes $23 million to fund non-toll technology projects such as mainframe upgrades, web and e-commerce, and implementation of a disaster recovery system. Also, it includes transponder purchases. $10 million for repairs system-wide to just maintenance sites and building and plazas. $8 million for our fleet, and $6 million for enhancements to our ITS system as part of, again, continued efforts to improve our customer service. And close to $2 million for research projects and energy conservation initiatives. I'll turn it back over to Mike.
May I just ask one question before that? The thing that doesn't appear here, one thing that doesn't appear here, and it shouldn't, I'm not being critical, is that we did plan to have some local contribution on the Elgin O'Hare. I'd just like to ask Christy to review where we are on that.
Sure. So we've been working with DuPage County and the communities along that corridor. As you may recall, we didn't necessarily anticipate that we'd get a check for $300 million all at one time, but that we'd be working with those communities over a series of years to identify ways to fill that gap. And I know we did commit, and all of them are very aware that we've committed to come back to the board and, you know, at the end of the year and talk very specifically about the plans to fill that gap, because obviously with proposed construction beginning next year, I know that previously you were all very interested in how that gap would be filled. So the communities at our last meeting with them did, I think, come up with a strategy to jointly apply for CMAQ funding, CMAQ, which is Congestion Mitigation Air Quality funding that's available through CMAP and a committee that they have. I know it's all very lots of acronyms there, but these are funds that typically local communities apply for on their own, but there's definitely been an indication from CMAP that, you know, some kind of joint application would be viewed very favorably. Anytime they see that kind of cooperation across many communities, that's a real positive for them. And there's a significant amount of money available every year from that pot, in addition to, you know, some in-kind right-of-way improvements. And I believe we've also talked about, you know, frontage roads are being constructed as part of this project. But ultimately, you know, that's not something that the TOLE would always necessarily anticipate maintaining long-term. So there might be some other opportunities there. So we think we've made, particularly at this last meeting with them, some real progress that we'll be able to come back and they can report back to the board, you know, in December or so, you know, what the actual plan is. And I don't think that the CMAQ applications would go in between now and December, but I think, you know, next round toward the beginning of the year. So I think some real opportunities there. Rocco, did I miss
anything? December is the time frame for CMAQ.
Yeah.
So I know Director Reddick has been very involved in this. Is there anything, first of all, we appreciate your involvement, but is there anything else you'd like to comment on?
I think Christy kind of hit the nail on the head. I will say, I thought the last meeting that we had was probably the most productive as far as unifying behind kind of a single plan and kind of getting a focus. Up until that point, there had been a lot of discussion, alternative plans, ideas, and thoughts, and this has kind of morphed into, I think a go-forward plan that I'm cautiously optimistic that we will be on time and ready to proceed forward with the proposal for the update to the board.
Okay, thank you. Sorry to interrupt the flow here, but it is a big part of the capital. It is a part of the capital for the people that are
Well, actually, I'm going to turn it over to Mike to summarize for us.
Thank you, Kathy. So, in summary, the budget is based on revenues that will continue to grow, albeit at a kind of slow but steady rate of growth, reflecting economic conditions that are projected to be continued economic growth, but at a slow pace, both the remainder of this year and next year. It does fund the second year of the Move Illinois program at $922 million, about double what we're spending this year. The base operating cost increases are consistent with our financial plan, 4% increase. We anticipate issuing as much as $1 billion of new bonds that would help fund both current and future capital costs, 13 and some expenses in 2014. And as Kathy mentioned, there are included in the budget technology investments, which will continue to support and improve our customer service efforts. That concludes our presentation. As I mentioned, the public comment period in November 13th and November 14th, November 13th here at the CA and November 14th at the O'Hare Oasis. I guess that's a open house, not a
questions? Directors are invited if you would like to join us on the 13th and 14th. We had a good time in the south, the 350
Southland
of the way last year. I'm sure O'Hare will be just as exciting. And the meeting here is always good. Presentation and then comments from the public. Are there any questions, particularly on the capital project? I know the directors coming from different geographic areas. Mm-hmm. On that particular project that are of interest or concern to them, but I think we're on track on everything.
I don't have a question, but I do have just a comment. I appreciate when I look at the budget that we have allocated more into the diversity and strategic portion of the budget. I saw like in 2011 we had $450 million, in 2012 we went to $780 million. And you can see the effect in 2012 that it had, that we're doing a lot of more mentor protege programs through 2012, and it takes a lot of outreach, and I see that the new budget now is from 780 million to 1.3 million, which is practically about an 80-90% increase in that line item. And I think it's very important that we keep adding more dollars to the diversity and strategic line item as our capital budget is doubling. And I just want to thank the administration for recognizing that and how important it is.
Thank you. And thank you for your help in keeping our focus on your slide 21 on the appendix actually shows the breakdown. Okay, any other questions or comments on the tentative budget?
I have one thing. I think maybe Mike can address the CDM. I know did the analysis on the future revenues, and as far as the construction, it's going to start to accelerate as we go into 2013. What's that impact going to be? I'm sure it's going to take into consideration the impact going to be on our commuters, you know, as far as the construction accelerating as we go into 2013, as far as more lane closures or narrowing down to certain areas. How was that? Was that, I'm assuming that was taken into consideration. And then how was that?
Part of the, a significant part of the analysis that CDM Smith does is to look at the projects that are programmed for the upcoming year to estimate what the impact of that would be on our traffic. Also, we need to look at projects that are off our system that might affect our system, either DOT or local projects. They factor that into their analysis for traffic projections. I can't speak precisely to, you know, what percentage change that had on the revenue numbers, but it was, I think, explained in their report and factored in.
Thank you.
There is someone from CDW here to have any further CDM, I'm sorry, any further clarification.
Okay. Well, I just have a couple of things, unless there were any other questions on the budget.
I just wanted to comment that everybody does have his or her place, just on the current budget, the informational item and purchases, I think, so that you know what those categories are.
I wanted to just mention under legal update, you'll notice the Elgin O'Hare Webster Access Local Advisory Committee guidelines. These were presented, Rocco made a presentation about these last month, and they've all been circulated. These are, for the most part, the technical guidelines for the group, as well as, you know, distribution of appointments. We expect that no more than 50% of the committee's members will be local elected officials, with the remainder selected from organized citizens groups across the corridor, and it's really local governments and townships that select representatives, and it's done proportionally based on kind of the impact that the project is going to have on their individual communities, so between one and two representatives per community or township. We've gotten appointments for many of the communities, but not all, so we continue to reach out to them, and excited this is something that is required according to the Toll Highway Act when we build a new toll road, but we also think it's just incredibly important anyway, frankly, because we get to interact directly with community representatives who ultimately may have a very different perspective on the impact of construction or the project or some of the details than maybe we or the engineers or construction managers might bring to it. So again, that's something that's a little later on the agenda. One small change is that, and Shauna will be, I think, presenting under business systems. This was a placeholder that we had on the committee budget. We hadn't quite finished all of the details on the procurement, but we do have an award of a contract to Jewel Osco. This was a competitive selection, but Jewel has been our partner in fulfilling transponders. You know, people can go to Jewel and replace their transponders or get transponders. So through this solicitation, that has been renewed, and we expect to continue to partner with them to make sure that transponders, you know, that we have that retail partner, which has been tremendously successful for us so far. So Shauna will present that as a separate item, you know, beyond the consent agenda. It was something that was added. We have an upcoming expo with Rock Valley College in Rockford, or at Rock Valley College in Rockford. It's a partnership with IDOT. This will be really an opportunity for a contractor expo. As you know, we had the Construction Career Expo, which I'm going to ask Director Gonzalez to say a few words about, I think, last week. But this next one, which is going to be October 30th, 8 a.m. to noon, is going to be an opportunity for businesses to interact and learn about procurement opportunities in the process, but also maybe network a little bit with each other. So I think a great opportunity for them, and we're partnering with IDOT on that project, and Gustavo's done a lot of work in pulling that together. So, and then finally, last but not least, the Construction Career Expo. Director Gonzalez, you were there, and I don't know if you'd like to say a few words about that. I thought a very successful event.
Yeah, it's very successful, and it was just great to see how many people turned out, and I believe we had over 350 participants that came out, and it was to give information to people that are looking to get into the construction trade. We had union representative, other organizations to give the information, just to see how the process works, how they can get into the construction trade. and it was very well attended. Christie, excellent job, Gustavo. They put this program together, and all the tollway staff there as well, to because it took a lot of people to put that together, and I was very, very pleased with the turnout. And it's being up in Chicago Heights, where it was where we had it at Bray State College. In the south suburbs, usually our unemployment rate's usually anywhere between 4 or 5% higher than the state average. And you can see by the turnout that the need is there. There's a pool of talent there. But I really appreciated the president, Tom Villanova, from the Building and Trades. He did a lot of questions and answers with the participants there. And he was very straightforward, and this is what I really liked about him. He let them know it's a two-way street. There's got to be commitments on both sides. It's not just a matter of filling out an application and tomorrow you start working in a construction trade. To talk to them about the apprentice program, how important it is, and the commitment that they need to make. And it was very informative for them to listen to that. And I just want to acknowledge the other organizations that came out that day. And without their help, it wouldn't have been such a great success. But if you give me the time, I just want to thank the Architectural Ornamental Iron Workers, Chicago Laborers was there, Chicago Women in Trades, the City Colleges of Chicago, the Highway Construction Career Training Program, the Illinois Community College Board, the Illinois Department of Employment Security was there, the Illinois Department of Transportation, the International Union Operators and Engineer Local 150 had representatives there, the Lincoln Option Center, the Quad County Urban League, and the Youthville Lake County were some of the organizations were there, and they very, very helpful in educating the potential workforce and how to get into the construction trade. Gustavo did an excellent job in explaining the earned credit program at the Mentor Protege. And that's something, again, piggybacking off the budget for 2013, how important it is for the prime contractors to understand that earned credit program and doing the outreach and to try to get more minorities to be working for these prime contractors. But I want to thank the Tollway for an excellent job, and it was a great turnout, and I think it's going to be very successful as we keep doing these in 2013. Thank you.
Any questions for Director Gonzalez on this? I have a question, maybe it's for Gustavo. Is there a mechanism for tracking the effectiveness? Do we know who showed up, and then can we track and figure out if they actually get jobs later in the process?
We do keep track of the people that have attended. We ask for emails on annual addresses. The difficult part is, since we're not asking for things like social securities, just keeping track of someone by name, mm-hmm. you know how difficult that is. But we've got to figure out a way to perhaps stay with these participants somehow.
Well, we did have some of our advisory council members from the Earn Credit program there, right? So that would
right.
be
one way
for
to
them
do it.
To access a partner that they would track how successful they were and ultimately making it through an apprenticeship program and ultimately reaching journeyman status with one of the unions or status with one of the unions.
And just my experience with this is you learn as much from the situations that are not successful as you do from the ones that are. So if we, and it's always really hard to keep track of people, but if we see what the impediment, somebody shows up, they're eager, they want to do something, then if we can figure out, well, what is it that didn't permit them to get to where they wanted to go, is there anything Tollway can do about it? And lots of times that probably will not be the case.
To break down that barrier.
But how do we figure out how to improve our programs as we go forward? And I know I'm asking a lot, but just getting everybody together and doing the work was really important. So
I think we could maybe do some surveying or something. I wouldn't
sure.
want to overcommit what we will be able to accommodate, but certainly surveying and just, even getting that anecdotal information, as you said, would be sometimes useful following up with people. So we'll keep an eye on it.
Good. Thank you.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. So I can't believe that I think there are no recusals on any of the items today. Is that correct?
There's been something that's come up. I'm going to be recusing myself on 6.22. Item number 2 under business systems.
Okay, so, and we're going to take that separately and talk about it anyway. So that's not going to slow my incredibly speedy push through the consent agenda.
I try to help.
Thank you. Okay. So, finance, these have been through, other than the 6.2, have all been through the committee, so the committee has vetted these. But if there are any questions, please slow me down or stop me, so on. First thing, on finance, it's a payment to the Auditor General, over which we do not have any control. And then the second one is the purchase agreement. So, and then we have the approval of budget, which we just did in some detail. So may I ask for a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, all in favor of those?
Aye.
Any opposition? Okay. Anybody want to abstain? Thank you. Business systems, the Trump system, number one, we'll take separately.
Move approval.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, that's good. Now let's take item two.
Thank you. Item two is a request for approval for a contract for the IPAS retail program with Jewel Opco. This is a continuation of a relationship that was established in 2003, but this is a competitive bid. We did put it out to all of the organizations that might have been interested in bidding. We received two responses, and Jewel is the only one that CMS deemed to be responsive. Now, the retail program is, I think as everybody here knows, a really exciting part of our customer service because it expands what we can do in a face-to-face situation to over 180 locations throughout 12 county regions. And about 50% of our new transponder sales and about 85% of our replacement transponder swaps are done through the Jewel Opco. Today. They also offer us a lot of marketing services that we're able to reach into the communities in a way that would be difficult without them. So we are pleased to bring this to the board for consideration today. The amount over a five-year period is $3.7 million, and there would be an option for a five-year lease.
Move to approve.
Second. Any questions on this? Since it hasn't gone through the committee, just because it wasn't ready, I want to make sure that if anybody has any questions, that they are answered. And this is really a CMS-led procurement.
I guess it was tollway-led, right? But CMS was very involved in reviewing
the
BEP component of it. So that's what we mean by...
Is there 10%?
Yeah. It achieved 10%. CMS put a goal of 30% on it, and I think that what the final determination was, there was a pretty, it was a good faith effort to meet the 30%, but I'm not exactly sure how, you know, what opportunities there would have been to achieve maybe that level of participation, which is why ultimately 10% was deemed responsive.
Yeah, Jewel selected, they were deemed responsive even though they didn't commit to 30% because they demonstrated a good faith effort to achieve that goal. They said of all the opportunities, they only deemed 10% able to subcontract and of that 10%, they're subcontracting 100% of that to a BDP firm. Whereas the other vendor didn't commit or demonstrate good faith effort at all, and that's why CMS deemed them non-responsive.
We only have one proposal. The other one was incomplete, but only one proposal. That was
one only was evaluated. We received two, but the other one was not evaluated because they were deemed non-responsive to the BDP requirement.
And we're going to pay Jewel Opco $3.7 million over a five-year term for the rights they have our transponders sold at those locations or renewed at those locations. Is that correct?
Yes. So we would pay them for each of the swaps that they do, each of the transponder replacements that they do for us, and each of the gift cards that they sell for us. We do about, on average, 350,000 transponder replacements of Jewel Opco every year, and we do about 200,000 gift card sales.
Was there a reason to do a five-year contract versus maybe a one-year or two-year?
The idea was that the last time we went out to bid with this, I think it was 2005, we also just received two responses, only one of which really actually did cover the region that we were looking at. And this time we only received one that was even responsive. And the idea is that
it is, it really is a limited marketplace that exists for us to do this type of work. There is a huge brand recognition involved at this point. There's a lot of branding that we have done that our customers really recognize. We've even done customer surveys. They recognize Jewel Osco as a tollway partner, and vice versa, actually. I mean, Jewel Osco believes that they're, you know, they're recognized as a tollway partner. So the idea is that a longer contract serves us a little bit better. If we tried to switch it around a lot, it'd be pretty hard to communicate with the customer base. And it wouldn't necessarily cost.
The other point that I would make here, though, is that certainly there are good business reasons to have a longer engagement here. And I think according to procurement code, we could engage up to 10 years, correct? And, you know, we obviously like to maintain as much flexibility as we can, but quite candidly, and we've discussed this as we've discussed how we're trying to meet some of these additional challenges and delays in the procurement process that we were experiencing, you know, I think you're going to start to see from a longer initial term, there's always opportunities to cancel. But one of the strategies we put forth was that we're going to have to take that step because, frankly, you know, just to get a one-year renewal on a contract takes 6 months of paperwork and process and everything else. And if we have cancellation clauses, which we do in our contracts, we just don't have kind of the staff and resources to, you know, execute and go through a six-month process every time we want to undertake a one-year renewal. So, you know, it is a balance between wanting to make sure we maintain a competitive environment and just needing to, you know, manage the process so that we can, frankly, sustain the level of activity that we're going to have in the coming years.
Is that 3.7 annual, or is that the 5 years?
And did I didn't realize this, did I hear you say, is that a flat amount or is it based on the number of exchanges and sales that they make?
It's based on our volume projections with a little bit of contingency.
But we actually pay them for what they've done.
Oh, right. We pay on a unit basis.
Yeah.
Correct. Correct.
So it's up to 3.7.
And that probably would have been a better term.
Okay. And then this, I never pronounce it right, is it Igor or Igor?
I've heard of both of them.
We've used them before, right? We've had a separate contract with them. Is that right? Do I remember this one?
We do have a separate contract with Igor. They do the actual inventory management, packaging of our transponders and whatnot, and then taking them out to the 180 plus locations. And that is an RFP that's currently in process right now, kind of the replacement of that contract is ending. However, Igor has a separate relationship with Jewel and is working with them regardless of whether or not we contract with them again. They will continue to work with Jewel to manage the inventory part of Jewel's transponder work.
And just a reminder that the next 2 years there's going to be a lot of people coming in, bringing in transponders and exchanging them. I think it's probably was an important time to have continuity.
Our expiration on the transponders almost doubled. So
which means what percent are going to be turning over?
So we are replacing about 300,000 this year. We expect to almost double that next year.
So there should be a lot of activity.
Yes. So since the authorization is based on unit price, how would you characterize the increase over the current contract in terms of unit pricing? Is it a moderate increase? Or?
Very moderate. We currently pay $1.55 for each transponder replacement. Under the new contract, we pay $1.99. And then gift cards, we currently don't pay anything for each gift card sale, although volume is somewhat limited. We would pay 50 cents for each gift card sale in the new scenario. So it wasn't a 0% increase, but it wasn't unheard of either since 2005.
Okay. Any other questions? It feels to me as if this is the right way to do this, but at some point maybe we should take a step back. If what we're running into, and this isn't necessarily negative, is that there is just the one distribution channel. We seem to be comfortable with it. We can always cancel it if we're not. But we might just want to step back and say, should we think about a completely different way of doing distribution? I'm not suggesting it would be better, but when you get to a situation where you've got one organization, there's an upside to it and there's a downside to it. It just would, it might be useful maybe, report committee goes to a different.
Well, if any of you have any ideas for us, we'd be happy to.
That's the question.
Well, I think the question I'd like to answer really is because there's any number of commercial entities that are well distributed throughout the area. I think it'd be interesting to find out why there's a general lack of interest on the part of all that many of the others to this proposition. And then maybe we can carve it. Yeah.
And I'm not encouraging change, and I certainly don't think we need to do this right away, particularly if we have a five-year contract and we're comfortable with the contract that we've got. But times change. I don't know what patterns, people's shopping patterns are or anything. Maybe somebody can help us think that through. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we probably should move on. We had a motion and a second? Yeah. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Any abstentions? Okay.
No,
I'm sorry. Oh, yes, recusal. Director Reddick, I apologize. It was so long ago that you told us. Okay, procurement. We have only one item there.
Motion approved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Any abstentions or recusals? Engineering. We have six items there, and there were discussions of these opinion comments you wanted to make on any of those?
No, I think we spoke about each of those, so
okay.
I'll make a motion to approve or remove. Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Any recusals or abstentions? Okay, legal. We have five items, and the workers' comp settlement, which is the third, we want to take up in executive session. But the rest of these, I think we can do. So we'll do 1, 2, 4, and 5. I've heard a motion. A second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Any recusals or abstentions? You had mentioned earlier the local advisory council for the Elgin O'Hare. Does anybody need to know about that, or we need any comment on that? I think we talked about it at the last meeting.
And we had the presentation at the last board meeting. So
everybody's comfortable with what we've got. Okay, good. Is there any unfinished business? Any new business? Okay. Christy said it would take us an hour and a half. Almost perfect. We will do an executive session. We'll do an executive session. Do you want to take a break before we do that? Okay, we'll take a 5-minute break and we'll reconvene in executive session.
Chair, could we just note for the record we're going to enter executive session by motion pursuant to Section 2C11 this month to discuss litigation involving COLA.
Okay.
So
thank you. Second. Any second on that?
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Any recusals or abstentions by joining the executive session? Everybody have a happy and safe Halloween. If we're not going to see you again after executive session. Thank you. What we need is a motion on workers' compensation settlement for leases rate, which is item number 3 under legal. May I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Any discussion on this?
If you just for the record flag the amount, and that would help you because we don't have it on the agenda this month. So that was in the amount of $180,000 settlement.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Anybody abstain or recuse? Okay, thank you. And I think we need a motion to leave this wonderful meeting.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Any abstentions, recusals? Thank you very much. Very expeditious. We appreciate the staff's work to get us there.